This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Our pal Matt Clement that we need to speak to. Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to be talking to a couple of fantasy football champions right now.
Damn right. Damn right. We smashed everybody. Hey, you know what? I wanted to ask you that in that vein. Have you ever won a league and won something big, or lost a league and had to do one of these sort of shame things?
I will never participate in a shame fantasy football league. So the answer is no, and no, it will never happen.
What if the shame portion of the bet, Matt, were you can't put up the orange stakes up and down the driveway? You got to just wing it with the plow all winter.
Yeah, those up.
Well, that would cost way more in the league for the saw I'd have to replace when spring rolled around from the plow rolling out, killing my grass.
Chris and I had this discussion yesterday. Whether it's hockey, whether it's football, basketball, whatever. It's not really in basketball, but baseball, even if you wanted to bring it in. Should there be ties in any sport? Would it make life easier in some regards, or is it just not even a starter of a conversation for you?
I don't know. I thought it really made the weekend interesting, because it was at the beginning you had, at the beginning of the week it was, okay, if it all falls into place, do you think the Raiders and Chargers will just take a knee for 60 minutes and then overtime and just both tie, or maybe if they go to overtime, will they do it? And then all of a sudden, you're in Sunday and even that game's going on, they're playing it. It looks like they're going to, it looks like the game's going to be over. And I text my son who went up to bed, asked if he's still awake. I said, it's tied. It's an overtime. And then everybody started coming back down to the living room to watch the game. And it got real interesting. I don't know. It made it real interesting. I thought the way it played out and the scenarios afterwards were also very interesting. Brandon Staley's catching a lot of crap for calling a timeout that I thought, I don't see anything wrong with the timeout, in my opinion, because I think he was just, I know he was subbing a big defensive tackle in to stop the run and getting somebody small out of there. And here's my point to that of the whole equation. If you sub them out, if you call that timeout right at the beginning of the play clock, then it looks like you're trying to do something. He waited the whole way till the play clock was down before he called that timeout.
See, I got the opposite read from it, Matt. Can I tell you my read on it was,
yep,
Brandon Staley panicked a little bit because he realized too late that he had the wrong personnel package in there and called the timeout. And that's what I would expect, to be quite honest, from a young, inexperienced rookie head coach in a big spot. He lost himself for a second, got in the deep end, and all of a sudden had to call for a life preserver, which was the timeout.
Right. And he called it when he called it. I mean, when the emotions are running high and all that's going on, you could take it a million ways. And I don't think it was a thing of, I'm calling this timeout because I'm going to try to score. Because I think if the Raiders miss a 58-yard field goal, he takes a knee and goes to play. And the other part that everybody, why wouldn't the Raiders just take a knee there? Why did they really try to stick it to the Chargers? Well, they're looking at the situation. If you want to look at it from the Raiders' side on there and side with them, if they win that game, they go to the Bengals. And if they lose that game, they go to the Chiefs. And the Chargers were going – the Chargers were sitting in the other spot. They weren't moving whether they won or lost that game. So it meant more to the Raiders to win that game going to Arrowhead than going to Cincinnati.
Well, certainly, yes. And plus, I don't know, I just always subscribe to, you want to stick it to your rival. Like, you just,
absolutely.
You're not ever in bed with them. You don't ever want to come to an agreement with them. They're your rival for a reason,
But the way that weekend went, it wouldn't surprise me to see a blocked field goal return for a touchdown, and then you'd really feel stupid for kicking that field goal.
No, absolutely. What's the best way to figure out NFL overtime or to break a tie in football? Like, what's your best way?
Well, I feel like, first off, they changed the overtime rules where if you kick a field goal, the other team gets a chance, but the overtime's only 10 minutes. That overtime, that's one drive. And I think the new overtime rules are actually asking for more ties than the old overtime rules. Let's just play a 15-minute quarter. I think that they were better. I like that the other, I know why they did it. They wanted to give the other team a chance, but why do we trim 5 minutes off the clock? It's basically a one possession, especially if you kick a field goal. You grind your way down the field and kick a field goal. You're going to use some downs and some time because you don't want to leave them a lot of time. So I think the way it is now, I like that both teams get a chance. I actually thought the College Bowls this year were pretty interesting, where after two of them, you went to two-point conversions and just alternated who went first.
Oh, that drove me nuts, Matt. As someone who personally went to the Penn State-Illinois game, and sure the outcome affected
it. I can imagine that. If you're a Penn State fan, you hate it.
It wasn't even my Penn State fandom, though. It was just like my fandom of college football is I don't mind five or six overtimes starting from the 25.
Right.
Because, again, it's not like you're starting at the 50. It's not like these drives are super long. When you start putting teams in two-point conversion situations, it's artificial. Like, it's almost like a shootout in hockey. It's too artificial for me. I'm past the point. I enjoyed that for the first few years it existed. I'm past the point of needing that now. As I get older and mellow out a little bit, I'm almost more comfortable with, you know what, just call it a tie. Let's just call it a day and it's a tie.
And I don't disagree with you, because how many times in the history of the NFL has it come down to what we just saw?
Right.
And I actually think that if the NFL thought it through before they made the schedule, they wouldn't have put that Raiders Chargers game last just in case that scenario came up. They would have stacked those games way differently and had the 49ers and Rams play that last game or whatever the case may be. Some combination of two people play that last game.
No. Look, it's 7:08 this morning, and you're drinking Butler County Moonshine already. I'm going to tell you why. Because here's why. King Roger, he got everything he wanted out of it all the way until the early morning. He got it from noon kickoff or 1 o'clock kickoff all the way until midnight. That's why. I think it worked perfectly.
The only way he wouldn't have got what he wanted is if those guys would have came out and took a knee the whole game. Because then he would have looked like the idiot.
You know what would have happened if that would have happened? Mysteriously, the lights would have gone out in the stadium. Like something.
King Roger would have set him off.
He'd have pulled the giant plug going into NBC's truck and just said, you know what? Nobody needs to see this right now.
Hey, answer me a serious question, because I know people have been asking, or maybe people just wonder. There's all these different protocols and things are happening. How's high school sports season pushing along as you're the basketball coach at Butler? Are things moving along in the right way?
From a COVID perspective, it seems like every time we start to feel like COVID's going away, it gets like 50 times worse. But things are progressing. Things really haven't changed from the beginning of the year till now. And you're on edge. You never know when things are going to change as far as, masks and different and other things. The big role that we're still rolling with right now is, I don't know if it's nationwide or statewide or whatever, but on the bus, masks are required on the bus, which I understand that's a close quarters. And whether you're on the side of masks help or not, if anything, maybe it helps keep the flu away if you wear a mask on the bus. But everything's progressing. There's no special stipulations on fans or anything else right now. You just hold your breath. You never know when something might change.
Literally, hold your breath. Yeah, former Major League pitcher Matt Clement with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Hey, I wanted to ask you a real quick baseball-related question, because I guess they're supposed to sit back down at the table this week and maybe get to work on figuring out some semblance of a CBA so opening day doesn't get delayed. I asked you this a couple months ago. I want to say it was during the holidays between Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it's now becoming a reality. When, as a pitcher, do you start to consider how you're going to alter your off-season routine based on, hey, spring training might start 3 weeks later or whatever it may be? How is your ramp-up going to get affected now that we're pushing towards mid to late January and then into February?
Well, the only way my ramp up gets affected is if I have to find a different spot to ramp up. Like if I go to, if I'm going to report, you know, if I report January 15th to get a month in before everybody gets there and I'm at the facility and doing it that way, and I can't do that, then I just have to find a new spot or make do at home to do it. I'm still ramping up, planning on starting, you know, throwing a bullpen when I get there right around Valentine's Day and then throwing a couple live BPs, then throwing a, you know, one or two innings and every fifth day going, everything, nothing changes as far as my preparation for the season because of the collective bargaining agreement. I'm still preparing my body to be ready to pitch right around April 1st in the major league game. So that doesn't change the location and the equipment and how I do it. And a lot of these guys are going to these pitching labs and doing all this stuff anyway, remotely, not with the team preseason anyway. And so nothing really changes from that perspective. It's funny, I saw something pop up on Twitter the other day, and it's like, oh my, it's like we're there now. You know, I saw the bargaining starting up. It's funny you say that because it's like, I remember when you asked me before, and like, oh, we're miles away. There's a lot that can happen now. Now we're there. I mean, it's like, you know, as soon as the new year hit for me and the NFL playoffs started, it's kind of my gauge. It was like, okay, the countdown's on for me getting really, I've been training for a month already or 2 months already, but now the countdown's on for when, you know, I'm leaving and I'm packing and I'm getting out of here and I'm figuring things out and getting ready and it gets serious. So, you know, there's some uncertainty in everybody's head, I'm sure, right now. And I actually think it could go into spring training a little bit, but I still think that, you know, within a week or so when that season's supposed to start, they're going to be playing baseball.
I think John Rocker was the first guy to really go to that pitching lab, if you know what I mean. I think he was he was ahead of the curve on that pitching lab.
Yeah.
Did you get any? How was that first snowfall up there in your area?
No, it was good.
Like 16 inches in Butler County. What'd you get up north?
Well, I mean, we ran out of salt already.
There you go.
It snowed so much up here compared to there, so we're worried, and we need, and, you know, supplies are low right now in the country, so we're hoping we get enough salt before the next snow.
It never gets old with you. You're the best. Real quick, what's your record, and how are you guys doing in basketball?
Well, that's a bad question to ask after last night when we got tattooed last night. But
by whom? Who beat you last night?
North Hills. They're
they're really good though. They got, like, I saw one kid's really, really good. Especially
they're number two in the state, but still, it's not the tattooing we took last night.
Yeah,
but,
coaching, it is.
They made me play four last night.
Instead
of getting to play six, I only got to play four
on the penalty kill. No, yeah.
Yes.
And in all seriousness, we were 8-3. We're doing well. We've lost to North Hills two of the games, and they're deserving to be number two team in the state. They're playing really well, and it's a long season. And in our section, we for some reason a couple years ago decided we're going to play each other three times during the season. So that'd be like the Steelers playing the Ravens and Browns three times each during an NFL season. We're doing that in our section because our section is, I would consider, pretty brutal with the North Allegheny and Pine Ridge and Seneca, us in North Hills, especially North Hills is number two in the state. So we have a long season to go, but we're 8-3 and we're moving along, and coaching's got to improve after last night.
I'll tell you for sure. Well, thank you, Matt. You're the best sport ever. We appreciate it. We'll talk again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Matt.
Matt Clement, our buddy. Really good point about he thinks it may go into spring training a little bit, but they'll play baseball this year.
And think about it. If you're the Players Association, how many guys like going to Florida or Arizona and starting, you know, really middle February, early mid-February, and start playing games end of February? Guys don't want to be there that long. They'll be totally satisfied with, hey, show up the first week of March or so, get a few weeks, get a week of workouts in, a couple weeks of games, and then let's launch into the season on March 31st.
Put the scrubs over there. Let them do what they do in their camp. I'm a starter anyway.
Keep them van riders away from me.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Heard me mention it in headlines. If you stayed up late last night, you saw it yourself. Evgeny Malkin back in the lineup. A little shaky in the first period, a couple of turnovers, but then he looked like Gino, playing like Gino, a couple of goals. A helper on Jeff Carter's empty netter late, as their line accounted for all four goals, in their win over the Ducks out in Anaheim. And Gino says, you know, key, I just didn't try to do too much.
I'm not trying to celebrate, like, too hard, you know? Like, I'm just, like, have fun, you know? Like, and, like, yeah, like, we have, like, a couple good chances in power play, and my partners, they give me, like, nice puck and a nice pass. And, yeah, I'm trying to do my job, like, shoot puck, clean power play, like, play simple in, like, when we play 5-on-5. And do it my job, yeah, like, coach tell me before game, like, play short, like, play simple, and, like, you'll be fine.
Like coach told him before the game, play simple, keep it, and play basic, keep it easy. That shot from the top of the point on the power play that Crosby jumped over right while setting the screen was just that. Take it at the top of the point. Don't think, overthink it too much. Just fire the puck on net.
What a life now, too, with Carter taking faceoffs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have that line and the things that we're doing with Kapanen. And, you know, started kind of with Kapanen the other day in that Dallas game with that loss when Kapanen went to the net and got that deflection and the things that he's been doing as of late. If it makes Malkin's life a lot simpler, if he can make some plays, he doesn't have to dance with the puck as much. I don't want to say it's as simple as, hey, just stand around and shoot, but he doesn't have to play as much defense either.
He doesn't have to be galloping Geno either to generate offense. I mean, look at the two goals last night. That one from the point on the power play that we just talked about.
Can play an Ovechkin game.
And then that one in front. I mean, he just redirects a shot by Marino in front of the net. Those are not you're used to Geno taking the puck, skating around the zone like a whirling dervish for 30 seconds and then finishing it off top shelf over some poor goaltender's shoulder. And he didn't have to do either one of those last
night. I really like it. And maybe it gets back into that some, but you don't have to exert all that effort. It's a soft launch into what he's going to be.
You're 35, man, not 25. You don't have to do that all the time.
And
keep it simple. I think that's it's nice that Mike Sullivan reinforced that to him last night. They'll do it again tomorrow night in L.A. Doug Whaley in studio starting in about 90 minutes from now for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Dan and Hughes, Chiefs color analyst at 8:30. Ray Fittipaldo, Steelers insider at 8. Really great story from a local kid doing something for those less fortunate that we'll explain to you in about 15 minutes. You're going to want to hear this. And can the Steelers ride a certain wave?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Again, really great story that has led to one local team taking up a bit of a drive of sorts. We'll explain it to you in 15 minutes, but a young local kid doing something really good, and it inspired, like I said, a local team to help him out with that. That on the way here on the Fan Morning Show. Ray Fittipaldo, top of the hour. Dan and Hughes, 8:30. Doug Whaley in studio the entire 9 o'clock hour here on the Fan Morning Show. Presented to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, now part of the Armstrong Comfort Solutions family. We played some of those darts that Jimbo took right between the eyeballs from Mike Tomlin yesterday. This one, interesting to me.
2 weeks ago, it was Ben's last home game. Last week could have been Ben's last game. Now Ben has another game. It sounds kind of cheesy, but can you continue to ride this kind of, this is going to be Ben's last whatever wave?
Those are our intentions, certainly.
Those are their intentions, to ride that wave, Colin. How much can that do for them?
I don't think much on the road. You know, I know that the team will bond together. They'll be together. They'll be in the hotel. Then they'll be at the field or whatever, and the message is the message. But some of it, to me, with something like that that's so emotional, I just think some of it could be lost whenever there's not crowd involvement. I mean, Ben talked about, he talked about going into that Monday night game, and some of it was, of course, you know, I'm out there with my teammates, but wasn't much of the talk, run out of that tunnel one more time, be there with the fans, I play for the best fans in this world and all that. Maybe I missed some of it about playing with his teammates and whatever, but they've kind of cycled through. The one thing that's remained constant is that crowd and that those fans and those terrible towels. It's nice to talk about, but I don't know how much you can really say, okay, this could be Ben's last game. We're going to play harder or do something different.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, Jeff Hathorn made the good point. We played it earlier. He made the point yesterday after the press conference when he was asked about this Ben wave of emotion, right? And the comparison to Jerome Bettis and the 2005 Super Bowl 40 team. And that team went on the road for all their games. But I do think, to Jeff's point, that was a much different team.
It was a much better team, yeah. And it was because the quarterback was younger and better, and it starts with that. I mean, the quarterback skills made a lot of people better and made the run game better because there was the threat of Ben Roethlisberger throwing the football 32 yards down the field on a line, and I don't think that they have that, particularly in the middle of the field right now.
Well, let me ask you about this wave. Can they ride the wave of momentum that T.J. Watt has seemingly built over the last three of the last 4 weeks? The only game over the last 4 weeks where he doesn't have at least one sack, and I think he's got, I want to say, 6.5 over the last 4 weeks going back to the Tennessee game, is the Kansas City game. Now, he only played like 55% of the snaps, I want to say, in that game. But he didn't, you know, one tackle. That was it.
Right.
If T.J. Watt can carry even just a glimmer of what he did against the Browns, where he completely took over the game, into Kansas City, I think that actually changes the matchup. I'm not saying it wins the game for the Steelers.
Maybe, but you know what I fear? And again, I'd love to look at this game, X's and O's standpoint, and say, the Steelers can do this and they can win. But
it feels like we're searching.
I feel like what you do to neutralize T.J. Watt is you get it out quick to Kelsey, or you get it out quick to Tyreek Hill, or you get it out quick to Mecole Hardman, real quick, and you let them go with it in a couple different ways. You want to throw receiver screens, let those guys dance on the outside, okay. Mm-hmm. You want to use the tight end, you stand them up in the slot, you run them across the middle. Is Schobert and Bush going to run with him? You don't need a ton of time to just throw it to those. Like, I just think that Andy Reid is too good to allow T.J. Watt to take over the game all that much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to believe so too, especially based on what we saw in the first matchup. But I guess that's
when they were shorthanded.
Right. And I guess I hold out hope because, look, when you're a 12.5 point underdog, or you're the fan of the 12.5 point underdog team, you search for every conceivable angle you can find. And that's one of the angles I've tried to convince myself is possible, if not probable, is maybe T.J. Watt just goes off and takes over the game and forces Patrick Mahomes into looking like the guy we saw the first 3-4 weeks of the season.
He might, but if they're going to get it out quick to the tight end, I don't know what T.J. Watt can do to neutralize that, especially if they go opposite him. You know, if they identify where he is and motion away from him, he's not going to go run with Travis Kelce. You know, he's going to stay where he is and rush off that edge. That's my big fear, is that they go ahead and they three-step drop and they get it out to Kelce quick, or they run from that shotgun or that pistol and they get it out to Kelce quick, and it becomes Kelce for 17 receptions and averages 7 yards a reception, where he catches the football, becomes essentially a slot receiver, and lowers his head and bulldogs through Schobert or Bush, and we see it all day. There's 6 yards. There's 7 yards. I mean, we've seen that in our town before.
I mean, this franchise has been tormented by tight ends for 30 years.
And I don't know if the Chiefs will, in an explosive form, just try to do that, or if they'll just chip away, bang it.
Yeah, they don't have
six.
To be up 30-0 again in order to win. You're right.
That's my fear. I think there's a way to take T.J. Watt out of the game if you're not really dependent all that much on that run game, and I don't know if they'll have to be.
Arguably the most talked about moment of Mike Tomlin's press conference yesterday.
I missed the end of it. I dozed off. I knew I had a work day waiting on me, or I assumed that I had a work day.
Mike Tomlin talking about the end of Chargers Raiders. He dozed off.
Yeah, that's tough. You ever doze off? You know when I doze off and become embarrassed? Not embarrassed, but you ever doze off somewhere and you wake up and you don't know, like, was I just sleeping for 4 seconds or for 4 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's an embarrassing part of dozing off like that. And also when you drool. Like, I'll do that. The drool part becomes very embarrassing.
I have a terrible story. Once, this is way back, like before when I was dating my wife, okay, we went up to Boston to visit her brother-in-law, right? Some mm-hmm. big wig hotshot for the company he worked for. He invited us up for the weekend. And first night out, I was working overnights at the time, right? So I would work until 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, we got on like a 9 a.m. flight up to Boston. We got up there. We went out to lunch with her brother. And I'm sitting there, like, we stopped for a drink after lunch, right? Because it's like a Friday afternoon.
Right.
And we're sitting there at the bar. And I'm, like, you know that thing you do where your eyes close and your head bobs like that?
Oh, yeah, I do it every morning here. Yeah, as we prepare for the show. Honestly, as we're like for, like, 10 minutes, I do that. And you're like, oh.
I did that, like, at a bar in Boston with, like, loud music playing. And I didn't have anything to drink. It's not like I was drunk and I was passing. I was literally just that tired. But other than that, I'll happily sleep anywhere, anytime. I'll post up right here in the corner and take a nap.
See, I can sleep on a plane. I can't really sleep in a car that much. It's weird.
Well, car sleep is not full sleep. Like, I did it on the way home from the beach a couple weeks ago, and it was, you know, you feel like you wake up every 30 seconds or it's probably only every, like, 5 minutes, but I took maybe like a 45-minute nap, and it felt completely disjointed and like it was only 10 minutes long.
Yeah, but the one that gets me is when I wake up and I have drool all in my beard, down the side of my face and whatever. I mean, this happens twice a week, sitting on the chair in the afternoon as I'm waiting for the kids to get off.
I was going to say, is anyone around?
Now, sometimes my wife, and she'll come in and she'll say, what are you doing? Or if I catch a little bit, sometimes I wake myself up with a mini snore. I'll be like,
oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell happened there? and there is something mysterious in the human existence whenever you, again, don't know if, was I just asleep for 4 seconds or was I asleep for 18 minutes?
Yeah.
And you don't know. There's a millisecond right there, maybe even longer, where you don't know and you have to look at the clock or you have to kind
that
of get your bearings
to me,
about you.
What's today? Wednesday. Monday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
I was just sitting around and I hadn't yet watched the All Madden documentary that they put out on Christmas. So I sat down and watched that. About halfway through, you know, it's the middle of the afternoon, I doze off and I wake up and I'm like, how much of this did I miss? And I had to go back and rewind. I ended up sleeping for like 10 minutes, and I had no idea.
What if Tomlin Pinocchio'd it, and he just didn't want to answer questions about the end of that game?
Oh, that's a strong move if he did.
I'm saying there's a 50% chance that happened. I'm not calling Mike Tomlin a liar. I'm just saying work smarter, not harder. Like, go into that and say, if anybody asks me about this, I'm just going to say I dozed off.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, if I need to, I can take it step two and just give the lighthearted, hey, I'm turning into an old man.
Yeah.
You know, I fall asleep. You know,
I got my sleep.
Yep. And he did. He was like, I got a work day the next day. He was probably glued to that game and was just like, I don't want to answer any questions, especially from this gym guy. The hell is this guy? Guy comes in here in a hoodie every day and but you got this breakfast food.
I did think the videos of Ben Roethlisberger watching the end of the game on FaceTime with his friends were cool, but there were no volume to them. You had no idea what was being said.
Then he had a Raiders helmet on?
Yeah, he was, I guess, just joking around. I'm sure he's got a ton of autographed memorabilia, and he threw a Raiders helmet
on. Did you see, what's his name, Max, whatever the place for the Raiders, Max?
Max Crosby.
Crosby, yeah.
They put a big blow-up, a Stevie Steeler blow-up thing in his front yard.
Oh, really?
Yes, in Vegas. He has a neighbor that's a Steelers fan.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he put an inflatable that said, big thanks, Max, from a Steelers fan.
Like, nice work.
Overnight, covertly, yes. Big move.
Ray Fittipaldo in 18 minutes. Dan and Hughes, Chiefs color analyst at 8:30. Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. A 14-year-old kid from the north side did something last month. Did something that has one local team paying attention and saying, yeah, you know what? We're on board. You've inspired us to do it in even bigger fashion. We'll explain what that is and talk to him next here on the Fan Morning Show. All right, we continue all the build-up, all the run-up to Sunday night, Steelers-Chiefs wildcard game in just a couple of minutes with Ray Fittipaldo. Top of the hour, he'll join us. Dannon Hughes from Kansas City, the Chiefs color analyst at 8:30, and Doug Whaley in studio for the entire 9 o'clock hour. Plus, a text Colin got at 8:45 that, well, it's...
I got it last night at 8:45. We're going to talk about it this morning at 8:45.
But
yes.
You got to hear about it.
It's
anyway,
incredible.
You got to hear about this, too. 14-year-old kid from the north side gets dragged into a garage by his parents during the pandemic to clean out the garage and ends up coming up with a fantastic idea to help a whole lot of people. Now the Pirates have jumped on board to get an equipment drive going this weekend. Good morning to Clark Eamon. Good morning, Clark. How are you? And what got you started down this path of, aside from just taking a few leftover bats that you weren't using anymore and donating them, to getting together six shipping containers full of baseball and softball equipment?
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, it was a great project. There were a lot of different people that came together and helped with this project. And we got, over 450 bats, around 70 gloves, and lots of catcher's equipment and batting helmets. It was really great.
Yeah, now this is, they've parlayed this into Friday from noon to 6. The Pirates at Mazeroski Way, right there. They're going to have a drive. The club is going to use this as an opportunity to collect gently used baseball and softball equipment from community members as part of a larger donation that they're going to send down to the islands as well. And then you're going to get a voucher for two tickets if you do that this Friday from noon to 6. Did you ever think that it would spawn something like this?
No. This is way more than I ever expected. This is great. I originally started out collecting small, but it's so great that it evolved into something this huge. And it just makes me feel good that all this equipment is going somewhere where they could really use it.
Well, how did it go from just you, like you said, it started out small. When did you realize it was blowing up and you were going to have a whole lot more stuff than you ever thought in the first place?
Well, I had no idea how generous people would be. So I started out with a couple equipment collection bins. But then when people started donating more and more, I realized that this could actually get to a very high-level donation project, because I play in three different baseball leagues. The Southwest Pittsburgh Baseball League, which is also part of the RBI League, and numerous number of teams there, such as Westwood, Southside, and now Washington, Stowe Rock State, they donated an enormous amount of gear, as well as my AAU team, the Bianca Angels. There was equipment been there too, and everybody was just so generous and willing to donate, which was great.
Hey, listen, Clark. You know, I mean, you're 14 now. You know that there's not a lot of 14-year-olds doing this. I mean, there really aren't. What compels you to want to help other people like this?
I mean, like I said, it started out in my garage. I saw that I just had a lot of gently used baseball equipment, and I realized that it could go somewhere. And I thought that there would be a lot of other people that were in a similar situation. So I thought that I might as well use it for good and make it go somewhere that they could really use it.
How long have you been playing baseball?
About 7-8 years on a team, but I've been playing it as long as I can remember.
And what I guess you mentioned the RBI program. That's what got you started?
No, I started the project before I played in RBI, but that was just a part of it. The teams in that league were also very helpful in the donation.
Well, Clark, it's great to meet you over the air. Congratulations on the success of your equipment drive and taking it to such a large scale this weekend on Mazeroski Way from noon to 6. Folks can drop by the loading dock area there at PNC Park and drop off their gently used equipment as well. It'll be packed up and sent down to the Dominican and Venezuela. And tell your parents they should be extremely proud of you, my man. And good luck in all your future endeavors. We appreciate you giving us a couple minutes.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Absolutely. Clark Eamon, a 14-year-old Northside native who started out with a couple bats laying around the garage, cleaned them up, and then all of a sudden he's got six big shipping containers filled with equipment, with the help of Donnie Kelly, a couple other people, the Boys and Girls Club, and then all of a sudden the entire Pirates organization is in on it.
That's pretty good. I mean, that's not pretty good stuff. That's like super stuff.
I mean, when I was 14, I was adult. I never would have thought of something like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think a lot of us think that same way. The other thing that I think of, too, is how many people probably around the area have bat that maybe their kids played, and then, now they use a bigger bat. Or they got a glove, and the kid grew out of it. He uses a different glove now. They have a bunch of different things laying around. It's just, you trample over, you look at five. Because I'm thinking, like, my garage, there's, like, 10 different things that just sit there.
I have a couple giant bins just sitting in the corner that are filled with all kinds of random stuff. And, yeah, some of it is baseball and softball stuff from previous years that I know the kids aren't going to use again. So, This may require a drive down to PNC Park later this week on Friday afternoon, in fact.
Yeah, absolutely. So great stuff from him. I just the thought to help others, especially in a time like this when the world is just kind of crazy. Good on that kid. Good on Clark. Good stuff from him, for sure.
Again, you can go to the Pirates website to find out more about the equipment drive. Jason Mackey did a write-up about Clark and his family in the Post-Gazette last month. You can just Google that and find it. Clark Eman, E-H-M-A-N. Great stuff from that kid.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.